This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Tuesday, February the 21st. I'm Angela Denning. Legislators are considering a bill this winter to clarify that someone voting in Alaska can post online photos of themselves with their ballot. That's currently not allowed under state law. Joe Vicnicki has more.
Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Crace Tompkins sponsored House Bill 7. As a legislative intern, Alicia Norton testified on the bill's behalf in front of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee.
HB 7 is a ballot selfie bill, which would allow a person to take a photo with their marked ballot and post it online. It's currently illegal in Alaska to do it, but it's not a heavily enforced law. And it's just changing some language.
Crace Tompkins' sponsor statement for the bill says ballot selfies have become a common way to express support for a candidate, a cause, or the act of voting itself. State law prohibits anyone within 200 feet of a polling place trying to persuade another person to vote a certain way, and also prohibits a voter from showing their ballot to an election official or any other person. Norton testified that she didn't know of a case in Alaska where that law has been enforced. The law change is supported by the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. The State of Alaska Department of Law's Libby Bacalar testified she didn't see any legal or constitutional problems with the bill.
I do know it's been a longstanding issue for the Division of Elections. We get calls every election about the ballot selfie issue, and I think it's the division's position that this would clarify those questions and give the voting public confidence that taking a ballot selfie is, a protected First Amendment right, as it's been interpreted in the cases that have come out so far, that there isn't going to be a penalty under existing law for doing that. The statutes were drafted in 1960, obviously, a long time before selfies were in the picture.
Many other states have had similar prohibitions on the books, but those laws are facing changes around the country. Some have been struck down in court challenges. Bacalar explained the thinking behind the prohibition on a public display.
The idea behind the initial legislation back in 1960 was to prevent the waving around of one's voted ballot in order to politically influence other voters who had not yet cast a ballot.
Crace Tompkins' bill has attracted bipartisan support. Committee member and Kotzebue Democrat Dean Westlake liked the idea for encouraging people to vote.
This is a great vehicle for trying to get people to go vote. Seeing that, and you know, there's a lot of hero worship with younger versus older kids when they start to see their heroes going out to the polls. They see these things out there in social media. Perhaps the response will be people like me that are super voters that show up to every voting thing, and I think this is a very positive thing.
The bill was moved out of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It's a second stop in the House. Up next, it heads on to the House Rules Committee. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The Wrangell Medical Center Board approved a feasibility study last week to assess building a new facility. There was a prior contentious attempt to build a new hospital, but the process stalled in 2012. The board has been trying to jumpstart the project for nearly 2 years. Wrangell Medical Center hopes to borrow money from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but that process would require a more detailed study, costing significantly more. The board instead decided to perform a preliminary study to determine its worth if it's worth moving forward. The preliminary study's price tag is $24,000. The hospital and the Wrangell Borough are sharing that cost. Architect BDO USA will be in Wrangell next month to create a conceptual design and rough cost estimate for a new facility. The Medical Center Board met with the Wrangell Borough Assembly in November to discuss steps to advance the project. Hospital CEO Robert Rang explained the hospital's accountant examined its ability to take a $30 million loan over 20 years. It was estimated to cost about $200,000 per month. Rang added he would be nervous making those payments with just $500,000 in reserves at the time. The study is expected to be completed by early May. Juneau's city attorney prefers to use the word discrepancies rather than loopholes in regard to the issues with the new criminal justice reform law. Members of the public from around the state recently testified before the Alaska Criminal Justice Commission about problems with sentencing provisions in Senate Bill 91 that took effect last July. KTOO's Matt Miller has more on the story from Juneau.
Some Alaskans commented about what they called catch and release, or issuing tickets for infractions for what would have been crimes and then letting violators walk away. One person, who identified herself as Mat-Su resident Vicki Wallner, said criminals seem to have the upper hand.
These criminals know the law better than we do, and they are out of control. The box stores, people don't go to jail for shoplifting anymore. That's not even basically a crime.
City and Borough of Juneau attorney Amy Mead also presented testimony to the commission by teleconference. She says drafting issues in Senate Bill 91 created statutory language that was different than the original intent. And that's led to gaps or hiccups in the judicial process, with judges having their hands tied. Let's say, for example, you were arrested for fighting someone in front of the downtown bars after closing. You could be charged with disorderly conduct, a Class B misdemeanor, and specifically be ordered to serve up to 10 days in jail and pay as much as $1,000 in fines. That was before Senate Bill 91. Now, after Senate Bill 91, Mead says someone convicted on the same charge can get out after only 24 hours in jail.
They're savvy. They know that. I've heard reports that officers get taunted by people who know that they can't get more than 24 hours in jail, and so why bother?
Another of the discrepancies in the new law noted by Mead includes the various penalties for assault. For someone who punches, scratches, or kicks another person, that could mean a Class A misdemeanor charge of fourth-degree assault. The maximum sentence is up to a year in prison. If you use an instrument to assault someone, break their bones, or cause permanent physical injury, that could lead to a more serious charge of assault, a Class C felony. But that sentence only carries a maximum of 18 months suspended for a first-time felon, or no time to serve in prison unless the offender later commits another crime or violates their probation, like failing a drug test. Those already convicted of a previous felony would serve 1 to 3 years in prison, while those already convicted of two felonies would have 2 to 5 years to serve. And related to the earlier shoplifting example, Mead says a first conviction for a misdemeanor larceny charge used to include a sentence of a year on probation under City and Borough of Juneau Code. Probation was capped at 6 months for the second or third conviction. But state statutes are now silent on the first or second offense, and Mead says judges have been interpreting that as requiring no probation at all. In addition, Mead says she was told by the commission that jail time was not the answer for repeated larcenies. Cognitive behavioral therapy is supposedly cheaper and more effective.
I don't think we have a cognitive behavioral therapist in town that we could ask the court to require people to go to as a term of probation. Well, as I mentioned before, right now we can't even get probation on a first or second offense, even if we had someone in town. Let's say we get past that. Well, now we need someone in town who's willing to take these people. If I get that, then maybe we can get somewhere. But right now we don't have these things.
Offenders who committed a crime while under the influence of alcohol might be sent to JSAP, or the Juneau Alcohol Safety Action Program, to help them deal with their alcoholism and change their behavior. But Mead says Senate Bill 91 has removed that as an option for all crimes except for driving while intoxicated. And what about domestic violence cases involving alcohol? JSAP is no longer available. Mead says she stands behind the commission's philosophy on criminal justice reform, but she feels the cart may have been put before the horse.
And I think that where we're going, if we can eventually get there, it really is going to make a very positive change. I'm frustrated now, though, because we don't have the tools that we need in order to implement the idea behind criminal justice reform. And I'm concerned, you know, what if we don't ever get those?
Mead is referring to the funding for social service organizations and programs that were part of the criminal justice reform bill. Jail and prison beds cost money, and any savings incurred from not locking up every single offender was intended to be rolled into preventative and rehabilitative programs. But the money has just started rolling out to various agencies and programs. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Although Sitka's Performing Arts Center is not on the budget chopping block this year, that didn't stop advocates of the arts from testifying in support of the facility at the school district's first budget hearing earlier this month. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Compared to the cities or the states, the Sitka School District's finances are in unusually good shape as the school board looks at its budget for next year. Board members are managing a deficit of only $95,000 compared to the $2 or $3 million deficits of recent years. Still, the district bears much of the annual cost of operating Sitka's Performing Arts Center. Expenses at the PAC run to about $250,000 a year. Although it's unlikely that the board would close the building under the current budget scenario, supporters of the PAC weren't taking any chances. Dance instructor Melinda McAdams told the board that she put 225 dancers on stage last year, performing for over 2,400 audience members. McAdams started her dance programs almost 20 years ago in the old Edlin Street Gym. She said that the PAC had a noticeable effect on students.
They stand taller on that stage. They are proud of their work. They realize that the adults in their lives respect what they're doing because they've built themselves this beautiful space to be in. So although dance is not taught as a specific subject in the school district, I think that not everyone is drawn to sports. I think students need their extracurricular activities. Dance is one of those things, and the Performing Arts Center is where that happens.
That sentiment was echoed closely by student Jordan Gagne, who plays baseball, performs on the trumpet, and also dances.
When I dance at the PAC, I feel respected, I guess, because that's really the only place in Sitka that is made for dancing and playing the instruments and, like, drama.
Student Ella Lubin also spoke on behalf of the PAC, which now serves as the headquarters of the Sitka Jazz Fest, which brings in students from around the region and talent from around the country. Christian Litton graduated 15 years ago from the music program at Sitka High and clearly remembers being outclassed by facilities elsewhere.
When I was a kid, we would go over to Juneau and Ketchikan and perform in their auditoriums, and for us it was like, this is amazing, we've never had a space like this to perform, and so getting to be in an auditorium over there was amazing. And I know that now kids come to this auditorium, watching the jazz festival this last weekend, It's unlike any other experience as a performer.
Parent Wendy Alderson reminded the board that the local volunteer committee known as FOPA, the Friends of the Performing Arts, did not expect the district to go it alone. The renewed effort to sell sponsorships at the PAC had generated real cash.
I think FOPA was great in that they presented you with $12,500 check. And so, there's certainly people out there willing to put their money where their mouth is and work hard to keep the PAC viable.
School board members have heard impassioned testimony on behalf of the PAC before, especially in the last couple of years when the facility was in more jeopardy from an uncertain budget. Board member Eric Van Sice maintained that the PAC is an economic driver for Sitka and could ultimately be self-supporting. He didn't want advocacy for the PAC or for the school to ease off just because the district wasn't in a deep financial hole.
It's easy to look at the numbers and say, I can see the general public thinking, okay, we can let her foot off the gas pedal, it's only $95,000. This new budget process, it's year to year. We're so many things that are absolutely out of our control as a district. And it's not just about Sitka. It's statewide, it's nationwide. So it's very tenuous.
Although at least 24 residents attended to support the PAC at the board's first budget hearing, there was also testimony on other issues. Susan Brandt Ferguson is the music teacher at Kiku Shiheen. She thanked the board for their support of the arts, but her testimony was as a parent.
I would also like to encourage the board to consider getting a counselor full-time back at Blashley. I think it's unconscionable to have no certified, qualified social work background person at Blatchley.
The board also heard testimony encouraging a more structured after-lunch program at Blatchley and for the return of more foreign languages at Sitka High. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And the next official school board budget hearing will be happening this evening in Sitka. For the first time in pageant history, A Tlingit woman will represent Alaska on the national stage. Alyssa London was crowned Miss Alaska earlier this month. Emily Russell spoke with London in Sitka, who said the whole experience, even before she was crowned, was unreal.
For me, you know, I can't speak to how the other girls felt, but for me it was a surreal experience. I felt like all the practice that I had done leading up to Miss Alaska and then also through the rehearsals kind of put my body in autopilot, especially now that I'm looking back on what happened 9 days ago.
So you say taking part in the pageant was a surreal experience. What was it like being crowned as Miss Alaska USA, especially being the first Tlingit winner of this pageant?
I'm going to go back to the out-of-body experience. I watched my crowning moment, and I walked forward, and I was just in shock. I was so happy, but it was just this, whoa, this is happening. My dream came true, and I was speechless. At least I didn't have to give a speech right after that.
All right, Alyssa, so you are Stanford educated, you've worked at Microsoft, you've started your own company, and now you're Miss Alaska USA. What's it been like to add that pageant to your list of accomplishments?
I started my first pageant when I was 17, and the same was with Stanford. I got the idea I wanted to go to that university when I went to the campus with my father for an alumni weekend when I was around 10, and when I said, Dad, I want to go here, he's like, really? Okay, well, then you'll need to do these things. You'll need to have really good grades and really to be involved in your community and do extracurricular activities. So any goal or any accomplishment has been something that I've worked on for years, and it's not an overnight success.
So how do you prepare for Miss USA? Obviously, you're competing against many more women from all across the country. What does the preparation look like for that?
I'm going to work really hard to prepare, and some of that is going to be working with, honestly, coaches, interview coaches, walking coaches, a trainer, nutritionist. I really want to do Alaska proud. I want to bring the title back to Alaska. We haven't had the USA title before, and I just think that needs to happen. We also needed the first African Indian Alaska Native Miss USA.
And you've traveled to Sitka, you visited the Mount Edgecombe High School. What advice would you give to younger girls that are seeing your success after the pageant?
So on Saturday, I'm going to the Women's Entrepreneurship Awards in Anchorage, and I will do everything I can to advocate on behalf of women who are in business and help us break the glass ceilings. I really do see this as an opportunity to serve and make a difference and not just wear a pretty crown. So the advice is just try, just do it.
That was Alyssa London speaking with KCAW's Emily Russell. London was crowned as Miss Alaska USA earlier this month and is the first Tlingit woman to hold that title. London will go on to compete for Miss USA this summer. And this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.